Your attention now, once again, to John's Gospel, chapter number 19. We have spent a number of weeks in this particular section because there's just so much truth in it, and I have not exhausted it by any means, but I intend to bring this particular section, although I will be referring to the other Gospels as well, with reference to this final action and word of our Lord, because John doesn't particularly mention the final word of our Lord from his cross that is found in Luke's Gospel, but all the Gospels mention that our Lord gave up his spirit. And we are going to try and consider what I call his final word and his final action before he dies this afternoon. But John 19, verses 16 to 30, once again. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of the skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not, the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, Let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, They parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did, and if I might interject, not knowing that they were fulfilling scripture as they did so. Verse 25, Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled the sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost. May we understand the uniqueness of what our Lord did as he died on the cross. You may be seated. I want to return your attention for one last time in this moving through John's wonderful gospel to the words and actions of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, his last words and action from his unique cross of penal substitutionary atonement before moving on in the good providence of the Lord to consider further glorious truth about the one who was the only one who could wondrously declare it is finished, truth that I sought to consider before you in the morning message. Now, in order to do this afternoon, I'm going to use all four gospel accounts of these final words and action of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as I do so, I repeat what I made reference to this morning. Something even many would have difficulty with and even dislike. preaching a message on the words and action of the Lord Jesus Christ from His cross, so close to the traditional but unverifiable date for remembering the birth of the one who was about to speak His last words and perform His last action before dying? December is the time of year to focus on the birth of Christ, not His death. For who wants to think about death in December? Who wants to think about death in December? Only those who see, only those who rejoice, only those who understand the truth of why that immaculately conceived and sinless babe born in Bethlehem was born so that He could live His absolutely sinless and perfect life, and therefore enabling Him to declare the awesome things He does from His unique cross in radical distinction from what would normally be said by sinful men dying through one of the most wicked and evil ways wicked and evil men could devise to put a person to death. Because I have no hesitation in saying, if you were able to have a tape recorder outside the walls of Jerusalem, the words coming from those two criminals before the one was brought to true repentance and faith in His Son, we would probably not want to hear what they were saying. But we want to hear what the unique Son of God was saying from His unique cross. Because before Jesus lays down His sinless life, what wonderful words are heard from His lips concerning others. He's not focused on Himself. He's focused on others. Towards those who had wickedly placed Him on His cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He's looking at them, and then He sees His mother and the disciple whom He loved, towards the mother and disciple whom He loved and provided for as He was on the cross. Woman, behold thy son, behold thy mother. And then towards the repentant, believing thief, today thou shalt be with Me in paradise. And then towards the living, true, and only God, who He never stopped desiring or wanting, even after bearing the punishment for all the sins of all of His elect church throughout time. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? I thirst. And then, if I can dare put it this way, He speaks not only to His church through all these words, but even in a pointed way towards His believing and confessing church, who through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit have come to see that Jesus is the only one capable of making you, believer, meet to meet God. It is finished. And as the final, wonderful, amazing demonstration of His sinless trust in and absolute love for His heavenly Father, He says, as recorded by Luke, with a loud voice, Father, into Thy hands I commend My spirit. And He bows His sinless head and gives up His sinless soul into the safe keeping of His heavenly Father. Dear brethren, for anyone to say that the words of the Lord Jesus Christ need not or even should not be considered in December, or that they are restricted to being considered only at a time of church tradition, says they should be mentioned or considered, have obviously not faced the wonder and blessing of these wonderful statements by the Lord Jesus Christ, including His last words and action. Because, dear brethren, people still die in December. People still die in December. For sadly, for too many, even many who profess to be Christian, what has this time of year become for them? An idol that they use to isolate themselves and insulate themselves for a time from the harsh and hard realities of living in a fallen and dying world. For how many will say that the worst time to have a loved one die is at this time of the year? But dear brethren, it does not matter what the calendar date is. It is never easy when someone you know and love dies. But if you confess to be a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you not to do? You are not to grieve like those who have no hope in the face of death. Because what does every true believer have in the face of death? Even death that intrudes, if I can put it that way, into the month of December. What do you have, believer? You have the truth. You have the truth of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only when He sinlessly walked on this earth, but when He sinlessly and wonderfully spoke from His unique cross, that He was sinfully lifted up on by wicked and sinful men. For the truth surrounding both the final word and action of the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift or gifts to every true believer, which is far greater than any of the gifts that cannot last or provide the peace and truth that Christ's last words and last action can give to the believing heart. For what do these final words and final action of the Lord Jesus Christ on His cross before He dies reveal and declare? First, how anyone can dare compare the Lord Jesus Christ to others. He is unique. He stands in a category of one. Why do I say this in light of what we see recorded in the four Gospels about our Lord's last words and action? First, that all your sinless substitute endured and suffered for you, believer, did not diminish His power and strength one iota. Now when death, when it comes for us in the sovereignty of God, reveals its power and its strength over us, dear brethren, it is a real enemy. But is it a defeated enemy? Yes, due to what Christ does for His elect bride, but it is an enemy nevertheless. It's not natural. The wages of sin is death. It's not natural. And it's easily seen in the last thing that people want to talk about correctly is death. And unbelieving men foolishly and falsely and dangerously think that they will be able to prevent the debilitating effects of dying by exercise and diet. They will even live to be 100 and think that they've lived a long life. And yet, how long did Methuselah live? 9 times longer. Now, I'm saying this, am I saying that it is wrong to want to be as healthy as you possibly can be for as long as you can by exercising and eating well? Absolutely not. Because our bodies, even in their fallen state, are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we should desire to honor God both body and soul. But even regularly exercising and enjoying dark green super smoothies is not going to prevent the physical effects of our fallen condition in Adam showing themselves. Believers have redeemed souls, but we need to put off these bodies of death. But dear brethren, death did not wear out your Savior, believer, and neither did all He went through at the hands of sinful men, or as He was your willing substitute in those 3 hours of impenetrable darkness as He bore the punishment the sins of His sheep deserved. All your sinless substitute endured and suffered for you, believer, did not diminish His power and strength. And this can be seen in 2 ways. First, how do Matthew, Mark, and Luke all record Jesus saying the last thing that he does. How do they all record it? Matthew 27:50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost of the Spirit. Mark 15:37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Dear brethren, the Greek word translated loud is mega. And the Greek word translated voice is phoné. But to put those two Greek words together in English, and what do you have? Megaphone! Death, dear brethren, was not overtaking your Savior, believer. He was defeating it for you. As your body wears out due to the effects of the fall upon it, you may even lose your ability to speak. I know someone who is facing that reality right now. But death was not getting the better of your death-defeating Savior believer with a loud voice, with a megaphone. After Jesus had endured all that he had endured and gone through, he speaks his last word in a loud voice. Because death met its master. Death met its master in your one and only Savior, believer. Is this not a gift to rejoice in 365 days of the year? Even as you see death displaying its power over others and eventually will over you, should you leave this world before the Lord returns? Death is a defeated enemy in the hands of your one and only Savior believer. And when it comes, it is under His sovereign control. He spoke with a loud voice. But the second way that Jesus shows that death did not defeat and overpower Him, as it will us under His sovereignty, is seen not only in how Jesus spoke, but in what He uniquely did after He spoke with His loud voice. Leaving what His final dying request was to my final point, but what do all four biblical gospels record Jesus doing? Matthew 27:50 again. Jesus, when He had cried out with a loud voice, yielded up the Spirit. Mark 15:37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the Spirit. Luke 23:46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the Spirit. John 19:30. When Jesus therefore received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the Spirit of the ghost. All four gospel writers declare what Jesus had the unique power to do, as He had declared about Himself back in John 10:18. No man taketh it from me, referring to His life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus had both the unique power to lay down His life and to take it up again. In His unique death and resurrection, Jesus was fulfilling the will of God for Him. Now sadly, some foolishly, and some dangerously, in this perverted
death with dignity obsessed time. Say that Jesus is doing something no different than a person who chooses to end their own life. But such an idea displays an ignorance, even a willful ignorance, even a perverted ignorance of the sinfulness of self-murder versus the unique power of Jesus that he displays in his giving up his sinless life. Why do I say this? Well, notice. What does Jesus say back in John 10, verse 18? He says, "No man taketh it from me." Even though he was hanging on the cross, the fact that he was hanging on that cross was not the reason he died. He died when he gave up the Spirit. He chose the exact time when he would die. He had that power and ability in and of himself. "No man taketh it from me." Jesus did not need the help of anyone else to give up his sinless soul. But those who sinfully take their own lives must enlist the assistance of something or someone else. The cross was the instrument of Christ's suffering, but not his death. He willingly chose to lay down his sinless life to deliver his redeemed people from all the consequences of it. "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." Why? Because no man could take it from him. As I just said, the cross did not kill Christ. He willingly gave up his sinless soul to be his people's sinless substitute and Savior. But no one who commits self-murder, even someone who jumps off a building, is laying it down of himself. Why do I say that? Because what does the person who sadly and soberingly reaches the point where they think they need to take their own life? They commit self-murder. Someone who jumps off of a building. They cannot lay down their life of themselves. Why do I say that? They need the hard ground to come into contact with to take their life from them. But even that may not end their life in the sovereignty of God. But Jesus had the unique power to take his own life without the aid of anything or anyone else. His life was absolutely unique. His death was absolutely unique. His resurrection was absolutely unique. His ascension was absolutely unique. And his return will be absolutely unique. And anyone who doubts the absolutely uniqueness of when the Lord Jesus Christ gave up his sinless life in comparison to any who would dare compare those who foolishly and sinfully use some means to take theirs also needs to face another absolutely unique difference concerning the death of Christ versus the death of others. Because when did Jesus give up his sinless soul? When did Jesus give up his sinless soul? After he had willingly suffered in the place of his sinful people. But I'll ask you, dear brethren, why do the majority of people, even all those who commit self-murder, commit it? Why do they commit it? What's the reason? To prevent or stop the suffering they are going through or think they will go through. Is that not the reason? I don't want to go through the suffering of cancer. I don't want to go through the suffering of this debilitating disease or that debilitating disease. Therefore, I will death with dignity. I want to die before I have to suffer. But Jesus' death was absolutely unique because He didn't die until after He suffered. Jesus did not willingly give up His sinless life until He suffered for the sins of His sinful people. He did not use His death as a means to escape suffering. He didn't die until after He had suffered in a way none of us will ever be able to comprehend, because the very universe was blinked out in darkness for 3 hours as He bore the just punishment of the sins of His people. Jesus didn't lay down His sinless life to prevent His suffering. Jesus laid His life down after He had suffered for the sins of His people. It is absolute heresy to dare equate the unique death of the Lord Jesus Christ with anyone else's death. And sadly and soberingly, dear brethren, how many who have committed the sin of self-murder to escape present suffering in this life have entered into an eternity of suffering for which there is no end. For no one who has committed the sin of self-murder has the unique commandment of Jesus both to lay their life down and take it up again. Because our Lord's laying down His life was unique, because He not only had the power in and of Himself to lay it down, but He also had what? The power to take it up again. How many who have said, it is my right to end my life whenever I want because I don't want to go through this or that suffering. How many, after they have taken their life, have been able to take it up again? Their bodies are still in the ground, awaiting the glorious resurrection day of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet He had the power to lay it down and to take it up again, dear brethren. And Christ's resurrection is the ultimate declaration that His laying down of His life was and is absolutely unique. Romans 4:25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. But the absolute uniqueness of the Lord's power over death is not the only wonderful thing to see in how He spoke and what He did, but in what He knew He was doing when He sinlessly gave up His sinless soul. As Luke records, Luke 23:46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost of the spirit. Jesus knew whose hands He could commend His sinless spirit into the safe keeping and reception of. The one that Jesus knew He had served sinlessly with all His sinless heart, soul, mind, and strength through His 30 years of life, of sinless life on this sin-cursed earth. Jesus knew He could commit the soul He had just freely given up to death into the hands of His Heavenly Father. And the ability of any true believer to do this is solely due to what Jesus had just finished for you, believer, on His cross. Your ability to be safely received by the living, true, and only God is only because of the sinless one who knew whose hands He was committing His sinless soul into. Christ's death was unique, but He also knew, as He gave up His sinless soul, who was going to receive it: His Father. Yet what is the universal condition, dear brethren, of sinful mankind apart from true saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? The innumerable false and contradictory things that people say and believe happens when a person dies. Let's be honest. You ask people, what happens when you die? You talk to a rank atheist and say, oh wow, when you're dead, you're dead. There's nothing left of you. You just return to dust. This idea of a soul, well, that's just religious poppycock. And then you ask someone else, oh well, when you die, you're embraced in light. Oh, when you die, you come back as something or someone else. You ask men in the face of death, you get these innumerable false and contradictory things that people say and believe happen when a person dies. In the words of Solomon, who shows the vanity of looking only at life from the perspective of this brief life, Ecclesiastes 3:21, who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the grave, to the earth? Who knows? Who knows? Who knows what happens when your soul leaves your body? Who knows, dear brethren? Jesus knows. Jesus knew, so He could, without any hesitation, without any doubt, say, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Dear brethren, Jesus wasn't going into the great unknowable. Jesus wasn't going into the great unknown. No one can know for certain what happens when a person dies. Jesus knew what was going to happen when He willingly gave up His sinless soul. Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. Jesus knew with sinless perfection and clarity that when He gave up His sinless soul in this life, it would be received by His Heavenly Father in glory. Blasphemy it is to dare equate anyone with the Lord Jesus. You have your false teachers and your false prophets. You have that false prophet Muhammad who says, oh well, if you blow other people up with you in a holy war, you'll go to a glory. And if you're male, you have all these virgins to enjoy. Or if you follow Joseph Smith, well, if you are a follower of Joseph Smith's false teaching, then you'll just have your own planet, although the earth isn't a planet, but that's another topic. You'll have your own planet to populate. All these foolish and false ideas. The one who is the truth comes and shows us His power, not only over death, but His knowing where His sinless soul, His sinless spirit was going to go as soon as He sinlessly gave it up with the power that He had. No one took His life from Him, but He laid it down of His own accord, because what did His sinless soul desire after He had suffered for the sins of His people? He desired to be back, go back to be with the One who He had loved and enjoyed and served and obeyed perfectly for the 30 years He lived on this fallen earth. And for those who have come by the amazing grace and mercy of God to see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man goeth to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew where His sinless spirit was going when He gave it up. What truth can you embrace and confess and rejoice in by faith? Brethren, 2 Corinthians 5, 6-8, therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's what faith in the truth of what Jesus finished on His cross gives to a believer. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Not wanting to consider the words of Christ from His unique cross because it is December? Dear brethren, what greater gift can there be? What greater gift can there be than the gift of saving faith? To know that should death take you in the sovereign hands of your Lord and Savior, even in December, Even if it was to take you on December the 25th. All it would do is usher you into the presence of the one who willingly gave up his sinless soul for you, believer, because Jesus wants you to know where he was going, and Jesus wants you to be with him where he is, that you may behold his glory with all the redeemed. He died to save when he said, "It is finished, and Father, into thy hands I give up my spirit." Not want to consider the unique death of the Lord Jesus Christ in December? There is no greater gift than understanding why Jesus died. Let us pray.